Okay, I want to take this opportunity to thank the yeshiva at large for this incredible initiative and for the opportunity this morning to talk about one very important topic in Inyanei Tefillah on a personal level. Just preparing these words and these ideas was very helpful for me in my own life, in my own tefillah, and I hope that some of their thoughts and ideas will hopefully impact you as well and help you, help all of us in our quest towards strengthening our tefillah. My introduction, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis and Beis, Tanu Rabbanan Arba Tzrichim Chizuk. There are four things that require chizuk, and Rashi famously comments on this Gemara. What does it mean, these things, these four things mean chizuk? Rashi says, She is chazik adam b'chayet b'tamid b'chol kocho. A person has to constantly use all of his koach to strengthen himself in these areas. It means there are certain things that it's not enough to do once in a while, it's not enough to do here and there, but there are certain things that require constant effort and a constant full-blown, full-force effort towards strengthening one's ways. And one of the four things mentioned on this list of the Gemara is tefillah. Tefillah is one of those things that a person has to constantly be working on. Constantly being mechazik, constantly trying to better, constantly trying to improve. You can't just say, okay, you know what, in Kita Aleph, maybe in first grade, I learned how to daven, so I'll just go off of that daven the rest of my life. Chas v'shalom. Nothing could be further from the truth and from what's expected of us and what's from what we're responsible to do. Our job is to constantly mechazik ourselves in tefillah. Truth is, this Gemara itself is a segue of what I want to discuss with you this morning a little bit. The topic that I was given, slash the topic that I kind of chose, was the following question. Isn't tefillah repetitive? Isn't tefillah seemingly redundant? I'm saying the same exact words every single day of my life, three times a day. Sometimes I get a fourth one. Shabbos or Yom Tov, Musaf, Rosh Chodesh, I get an extra one. If I'm really lucky on Yom Kippur, I'll get a fifth one, I'll get Ne'ilah. But it seems so redundant and so repetitive over and over and over again. And I'm sure in our lifetime we thought about this question. It's a very, very good question, a basic question about tefillah, and something that requires explanation and understanding. So I'm going to try with you for the next couple of minutes that we have together to give a couple of perspectives and ideas, insights. How do we approach the fact that tefillah seemingly seems to be repetitive? When I was young, I used to play basketball. Some people in this room remember that. Revulsion was on the staff in Camp Marasha, and I was a camper in Camp Marasha. Okay. So, I'm a righty, by nature, a righty. But I actually bat lefty. And basketball was the sport that I enjoyed most, I played most. Everyone knows basketball knows that you have to, if you want to be effective on the court, it's not enough to be able to drive one way. If you're a righty and you only can drive with your right hand to the hoop, you're pretty much paralyzed on the court. They'll just make you go left all the time, and you won't be able to get a good shot at the basket. If you can go both ways, you can go left and right. If you can switch it up, if you can maybe have a little fancy crossover dribble and confuse the guy in front of you a little bit, and you have a much better chance of being effective on the court. I'm going to give now two kind of approaches, both ways to answer this question. We're going to go left, I'm going to go right. Bahavda. We're going to answer this question in two ways, hopefully. One, the first answer that we're going to suggest to this question is tefillah repetitive. We'll say the answer is a big, resounding no. Tefillah is not repetitive. Excuse me? I said the same brachos this morning as I said last night at Ma'ariv. Minchas looks pretty similar. Why is it not repetitive? How is tefillah not repetitive? There's a very, very beautiful comment of Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the great giant Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, the great tzaddik, mechaber of Svarim, and tremendous teacher for Klal Yisrael, has two very famous Svarim. One is called Nefesh HaChaim on various different matters, on tefillah, on Torah, and other things as well. and a sefer on Avos famous called Ruach Chaim, which is on Pirkei Avos. In both of these svarim, both on Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin suggests the following tremendous idea about tefillah. And think about this for a second. It's really remarkable. I'll read you one line of this passage. This is in Shar Beis, Perek Yud Gimel. Listen to these words. It says, Rav Chaim Volozhin, Shema'ish Shetiknua, from the time that tefillah was established by the whom? Who established tefillah? Excellent. Ad Bias HaGoel, until Mashiach comes. That's a pretty long journey. That's thousands of years. Hopefully we're at the very end. Mashiach is hopefully coming very soon. Amen. Amen. There never was and never will be any tefillah, specific tefillah, Domer lechaverta shekodem la v'achareha klal. There was never two tefillos that were exactly identical. Since tefillah was established, until Mashiach comes, there was never two tefillos that were exactly the same. What does that even mean? It's the exact same words. Rav Chaim Volozhin is explaining over here that we don't have no clue about the potency and the depth and the power of the words of tefillah. They're so deep. The kavanah and the words of the tefillah are so deep. We don't even grasp what we're saying. We have no clue what we're saying. We just stand with a sitter in front of us, hopefully, and maybe go from the beginning to end quickly so we can get back to our seats or back to wherever we have to go. We don't realize how much is embedded, how much is beneath the surface, or even scratching the surface in the words of the tefillah, says of Chaim Volozhin. Every tefillah is unique. Every word of tefillah is unique. And every tefillah is so powerful. And it's very, very different than the previous tefillah. Your kavanah is different than my kavanah. Your intention when you say the words Refa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafa'i Hoshinu v'Hashem, when you're davening for someone that's sick, is different than someone else that's davening, because we're davening for different people. And we have different understandings of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the world and views the world and interacts with the world. We're all different. And every single tefillah is a different and more powerful and unique tefillah compared to the previous one. When I was discussing this last night with my family, late last night, we were having a little chat. I told them we were discussing today the topic of tefillah, and is not redundant. My wife told me over last night something from Rebbetzin Machlis, Aleh HaShalom, which she used to say in the name of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, Aleh HaShalom. Two great Rebbetzins in the same sentence. She used to tell women, Rebbetzin Machlis, in the name of Rebbetzin Kanievsky, that, let's say you're busy with your children. Let's say it's a long day. You're playing with kids on the floor. It's time to daven. But you can't daven now. You have to be worried about this kid, stepping on the other kid's face, chas v'shalom, hopefully not. Or you have to be worried about, the supper is in the oven. You have to make sure to get it out of the oven. Your mind is spread. Women are very, very good at multitasking. Men are a little bit less creative and talented in multitasking. You're multitasking seven things right now, and now it's time to daven. So on the one hand, a woman should say to herself, you know what, daven now? I'm in the middle of seven things. On the other hand, daven. And the Rebbetzins both said daven. What do you mean? But my words, I'm not even focused on the words. It doesn't make a difference. The words themselves carry so much weight. The words themselves are so potent. The words themselves are so powerful that even if you're saying words without even having any feeling or meaning whatsoever, they are poel. They are impactful and make a big difference. So number one answer to this question, so to speak, if we need an answer, if we'll go in the first direction, is tefillah redundant? The answer is no. Maybe our approach to tefillah is a little bit mundane. Maybe our approach to tefillah is pretty much similar as it was yesterday, and the day before, and last night, and this afternoon. But in terms of the tefillah itself, the tefillah is so rich. The tefillah itself is so powerful. The words themselves are so incredibly impactful. That's if we would answer the question by saying, no, tefillah, the words are not redundant. Tefillah itself is not redundant. But I want to focus the bulk of the time on two other approaches that really, if we call a spade, tefillah is redundant. It is. It really is. You say the exact same words every single day, three times a day. It is redundant. So the question that begs to be asked is, if it is redundant, so then why is it so redundant? Why did Chazal and the Institute of Tefillah make it that we're going to daven the same thing every single day, so many times, over and over and over again? What's behind that? So I want to share with you on this question. I want to share with you on this. It's good. It's a kotov. Everything is okay. I hope. Even this is okay. It's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Thank you very much. I want to share with you on this question two perspectives to answer why tefillah, which seemingly is redundant, actually was created in a way that it is created. The first thought, I'm sorry for my triachi.
A lot of water.
Should have drank.
Abe Shefa.
The first,
a lot of people getting up, I'm sorry.
The first approach is based on, spill it?
I don't want to.
Just drink it. The first answer is based on a very beautiful passage of Ramchal in the Sefer Derech Hashem. Says Ramchal, an incredible idea. If you look at human beings, says Ramchal, we are very, very much self-sufficient. We do everything ourselves. Baruch Hashem, if we're healthy and well, we get up in the morning, we do everything ourselves, we dress ourselves, we bathe ourselves, we feed ourselves. Then we go to work, one day we go to work and we make our parnasa independently, and we're very, very mighty and powerful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it that way, that we should be independent and totally creative and self-sufficient on our own to be able to accomplish in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to interact with this world and wants us to be creative in this world and wants us to use the kolos that He gave us in this world to the best of our ability. However, says the Ramchal, by engaging in this world, there's a risk. What's the risk? The risk is, as we know, from this world that we live in, is that we're going to be drawn pretty easily to this world. And we're going to get carried away to our physical engagements. We're going to get carried away to the desires that are pulling us in this world. We're going to get carried away to the gashmius in this world that's really, really good and really, really luring and really, really enticing. And then it's very, very difficult to come back and to reconnect and to reestablish our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, we're just entrenched and embedded and totally, totally involved and engaged in this world. How do we break out of that? How do we maintain the balance? How do we make sure that our engagement, our involvement in this world is not something which totally eats us up, totally takes us over, governs our life? How do we make sure one day when we ask Josh Neiman, call a shout out, Josh, what do you do? And let's say Josh is a big hotshot investment banker, let's say. He doesn't answer one day, I do investment banking, or I am an investment banker. That's not what you are. Maybe that's what you do. Maybe that's how you bring Parnassah home. That's not who you are at your core. That's not what you are. You are an investment banker. That's what you are. No. You are an Eved Hashem. You are an Neshama who's constantly trying to strive and reconnect and connect as much as possible to your Creator. How do we make sure that the balance is kept, that we don't get too drawn and swept away in this world by the Gashmias, by the physicality of this world? Says the Ramchal, the way to do it is by tefillah. Tefillah sets the tone for the day. Before we go to work, before you start your job as an investment banker at 6:30 in the morning, you start the day before that. How do you do so? I have a Talmud. I was just talking to his family. They were telling me about his schedule. He's a boger, an alum of Torah Shraga. He gets up early in the morning, before 5 o'clock. He has a Seder in the morning, before 5 o'clock. He davens Shachas, and then he goes to do his investment banking, whatever he does in the markets, to try to make a pronouncement for his family. It sets the tone for the whole day. Make sure I don't get totally swept up and entrenched in the world, which is so strong in its pull towards me. Why is tefillah so constant? Why is it so repetitive, so to speak? Because we need these reminders. Otherwise, we're going to get swept up. We need a reminder in the morning, a reminder in the afternoon, a reminder in the night. And my son piped in last night when he was hearing this idea. He told me something beautiful, something tremendous. Next time you ask this question to yourself, is tefillah not repetitive? Ask yourself this question. Is eating not repetitive? Tomorrow's a fast day. We're going to miss breakfast. Hopefully we'll learn after that, Talmud Torah. We'll miss lunch. Hopefully by the time the fast is over, maybe it'll be a Yom Tov even, we'll have a real celebration. But if not, we'll miss two meals. Isn't eating repetitive? As my son told me from his Rosh Hashiva, so beautiful, so simple. Why is tefillah three times a day? The same way your body eats three times a day, the same thing you feed your body three times a day. You don't just say, okay, I'll eat in the morning and I'll be fine the rest of the day. You eat breakfast, you eat lunch, you eat supper. Guess what? Our souls also need nourishment. And we nourish our souls through tefillah as well. And we nourish our souls in the morning, and then we re-nourish them again, and reconnect them again to their Creator. Lunchtime, and then at the end of the day, at Maariv time, when we culminate our day, we also reconnect with our Creator, and recalibrate ourselves, and make sure we're focused on not being swept away too much in this world. So a second approach, why tefillah is repetitive, is because tefillah, my friends, keeps us balanced in the proper way, and doesn't let us get too off track from life that naturally carries us away from what we're supposed to be doing. The final approach that I'd like to suggest to this question, I think maybe is the most fundamental approach, and the approach that I think really, really touches at the core of what tefillah is all about. And I think if we think about this idea and reflect upon it, we'll realize that it really, hopefully, could and should impact us in a very, very meaningful way. The bulk of this idea comes from the Sefer of the Ma'bit, the Sefer Beis Elokim. And he has a very, very beautiful idea about tefillah in general. And this is what he writes. Says the Ma'bit, imagine the following mashal. Imagine you turn 17, maybe this happened to some of you, and you walked home into your house at your 17th birthday, and you said to your parents, hi, ma, da, how's it going? Good. Listen, I'm 17, I could drive. Maybe you could buy me a car. I'll take a Tesla. So they look at you, maybe they can even afford it. Maybe they don't want to give you a Tesla for your 17th birthday because they just don't want to. They say, you know, Tzadik, you're a good boy. We love you so much. No, sorry. So the next day, this guy comes back to his parents and says, hey, my dad, you know, I'm 17 in a day now. Maybe a Tesla? And mom and dad look at him and say, 17 in a day, we're so happy. You were born. It's great for us. We love you so much, but sorry, guy. No Tesla. This same story repeats itself day in, day out, day in, day out. Finally, after a few weeks, the kid comes back to the parents and says, ma, dad, Tesla. The parents turn to this child and say, little tzaddikal, you are a nudnik. Stop asking for a Tesla. Stop asking for the car. We said what we had to say. Drop it, buddy. Like, get a hint. No. No. No, no Tesla for you. So, Ma'bit asks, we do the same thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We come every day to Hashem and say, can I have Achma? Can I have Das? Can I have Parnasa? Can I have? We're just that kid that's the nudnik, that's nudniking God every single day, three times a day. Why are we not a nudnik in our incessant, non-stop prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And says the Ma'bit, a beautiful idea. Flip it around, he says. He says so nicely, by coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, all the time, every day, three times a day, you know what we're saying? One thing. Hashem, you are the only address that we have for every single thing that we need. Hashem, you are the source of everything. I go to my parents for a Tesla, they say no. Maybe I can go to somewhere else. I come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day and I say, Hashem, you are the source of my das. Today I'm learning a hard tosfos, a hard sugya. I need help to understand this tosfos. Hashem, please give me das. I need parnasa. I have to support my family, Baruch Hashem. I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day, you are the only source of my parnasa. I check in and I cultivate and I strengthen my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu again and again and again and again. Yeah, that's exactly why they made it repetitive. So we don't just say, okay, we'll just check in and check out once in a blue moon, but rather we'll have a constantly fresh and renewed relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After all, that's what tefillah is all about, and that's what Avodas Hashem is all about. What is Avodas Hashem? Avodas Hashem is cultivating, strengthening, deepening our relationship with Hashem. Tefillah constantly is the best way to do that. I'll give you two mashals, very brief mashalim. I went to MTA, I went to MTA for high school. My father, Shlita, taught then in YU and still teaches in YU, Baruch Hashem. And my carpool every single day at the MTA was with my dad. He would drive me in. Till I got older, then I would drive him in. And I was ready 16, I had a permit. I'd drive till the bridge, till the George Washington Bridge, and then I would switch because I wasn't allowed to drive in New York. So I would switch, and he would drive over the bridge. Very excited. And I'd get to MTA. Good times, wonderful times. MTA doesn't provide, or didn't provide food for meals in those days. I think they still don't provide. Had he eaten in the Heights? Cash is king. So where did we go? There was a bodega across the street. We went there. There was a pizza store. I think it's called Le Como now. What was the former name? Revulsion, please. A little digging back into the memory. I forgot what it used to be called. I was trying to remember on the way to Yeshiva. That's why I was a minute late. But okay, the kids are Amaisa. It was grandma's cookie jar. So my father was very generous. He still is very generous. And he used to give me money every day for food. My allowance was around $5 a day, which in those days got you pretty far. $5 a day, it wasn't like $3 a slice of pizza. I'm outdating myself. It was probably like $1.50 for a slice of pizza. I know I'm old and whatever, but that's the story. My father would never, on Monday morning, it was only 4 days a week school, yeshiva. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he would never give me $20 on Monday morning. He would give me $5 a day. Most days I'd have to go to him during lunchtime. I had a break during lunchtime, and he would give me $5 cash. Not even $10 for 2 days. He'd give me money every single day. Why? Because he wanted me to lose my belly? To walk the 2 blocks from 185th Street or 187th Street to 185th Street? No, it wasn't that. It wasn't the money. It was the relationship. My father wanted to see how my day was going. He wanted to see how things were. He wanted to check in with me and see how things were. So if he gave me money, he wasn't holding me by a leash. He just wanted to see me and talk to me and interact with me. Because that's how the relationship is maintained in your hands. When it's a relationship, which is a once in a while relationship, it's not much of a relationship. If it's constant and always, always working on it and growing and building it and developing it, it's a much more deep relationship. Or just take this mashal. This did not happen to me, I hope. I hope it never happens to anybody in this room. But imagine a guy is married. Not Shana Rishon, not the first year. He's married 10 years. His marriage goes a little stale. Or actually goes very stale. And he pretty much ignores his wife all year long. Ignores her. They're living parallel lives. They share a roof over their head, but that's about it. They don't share their days. They don't share their weeks. They don't share their lives. Nothing. But the anniversary, he wakes up and says, you know what? 10 years ago, we got married. It was so nice and such good times. I'm sorry we got married. He comes home with a massive bouquet of flowers, with a beautiful gold necklace, maybe some champagne, and says, my dear sweetie pie, happy anniversary. And she says, ah! She throws up in his face. Why? Where have you been the other 364 days out of the year? All of a sudden, now, happy anniversary, you come home with your big bouquet of flowers? Maze, that's not a relationship. In order for us to deepen and strengthen our relationship with Hashem, it has to be constant. It has to be all the time. It has to be morning, afternoon, and night. It has to be all the time, again and again and again. After all, the things that we're most used to in life, we take most for granted. Our spouses, who hopefully don't take for granted, the reason why sometimes people have issues with shalom bias is because they're so used to their wife making supper for them, they're so used to their husband bringing the parnasa to the family, they're so used to the woman, the wife driving the car, following the stereotype, they're so used to the husband going to the baseball game, whatever the case may be. And there's no recognition and no appreciation and no relationship that's strengthened. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my friends, and us, is about a relationship. And the way to strengthen the relationship is to constantly be mechazek it, to constantly morning, afternoon, and night check in and say, hi, Ribono Shel, here I am. And thank you. Mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all He does for us. And please, Hashem, I need pshat and tozos today. And please, Hashem, my roommate in yeshiva, who's not here right now, is probably not feeling well. Hopefully, you should have a refuah shleima. I'll daven for him today. And at the end of the day, at the end of every tefillah, modim anachnu lach, thank you Hashem for everything you've given me. I don't take it for granted. That's why tefillah is so constant, is what seems to be so repetitive, but not repetitive at all. Because it's every single tefillah we do is strengthening and be mechazik our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to close with the following idea. The Chazon Ish said that the way a person is defined in their Avodas Hashem is by the way they daven. What's the most defining factor? You want to know what you're up to in Avodas Hashem? Today is the ninth day of Tevis, Tafshin Pei Beis. You're a few months into Yeshiva. How am I doing? The answer is, look at your daven. He doesn't say look at your learning, although learning is also very, very important and fundamental. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. He says look at your davening, because your davening is a barometer, it's a yardstick of where we're up to in life. If our davening is serious, we take it seriously, it shows that we're connected, that our relationship is real and sincere, and we're working on it. If our davening is 2 minutes, we open it, we close it, we get a check for coming to davening, but we're not working on developing it and cultivating it, and making it better, improving it, so then unfortunately that's also very telling about where we're holding. Rabbi Blavatsky Shlita likes to point out, David HaMelech says, V'ani tefilasi l'cha Hashem Yitzvatsam. In light of this Chazon Ish, V'ani tefilasi means, I am my tefillah. I am holding where my tefillah is. You know where I am? Where my tefillah is. V'ani tefilasi. I want to just close with one idea from Volbi, and then we'll really close. Believe that. Volbi now is sure writes an amazing idea. You know, in Shraga, there's a lot of chats, so they say. I'm not in most of them. I'm in some of them. One of the popular chats is, what's for
dinner?
Oh, how do I know? I've caught one or two Talmidim, you know, checking out what's for dinner in Shraga. What's the chat on what's for dinner? We want to know what's for dinner. After all, we live from meal to meal, you know? So now breakfast is behind us, delicious berekas. Now what's for lunch? You know, today is Yom Sheni B'Shavas, it's Monday. Panini Monday, Avada, Panini Monday. We have a takana in our shiur, Panini Monday, to do the chazik, the panini machines, and guys can get there as timely as possible. What's for dinner? We live from meal to meal. Volbi Zatzal suggested so beautifully, and this is something we could strive for in life, hopefully, that we should live in our spiritual realm from tefillah to tefillah. What does that mean? It means I finish chakras this morning, I ended at point A. I pick up at point A in Mincha today, and I continue my relationship with Hashem from that point today at Mincha. And at Maariv tonight, I pick up where I left off at Mincha today. And by doing so, what am I doing? I'm creating a continuum. It's the relationship. It's a constant relationship. It's flowing. You know what? It's not always easy. I'll tell you a secret. Every Rebbe in this room struggles with tefillah also. You think every single Rebbe has a perfect Shmona Esrei every single time they daven? I'll speak for myself. I don't. We're easily distracted. Life is complicated. We're full of different things that pull us and stress and take us different directions. But if we try our best to look at tefillah like that, my body has to eat, my soul has to eat. I don't want to get too swept away, like the Ramchal said, in this world. So I want to reconnect. I understand, I value, these words are so powerful, they're so potent. There's so much in them. I realize that tefillah is about a relationship with Hashem. But I need tefillasi. Give us all a bracha, we should be zocha, to get a tremendous amount of chizuk from this wonderful initiative. Each person, in our own way, in his own way, should work on their tefillah. They should become their tefillah. And make Hashem, we should be zocha, each and every one of us, to cultivate a wonderful and meaningful and rich relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wonderful.